Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 through verse 9, a strange fire. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. When Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. Now, I've called this strange fire because that's what when Nadab and Abihu, when they offended the Lord, they burned what God calls strange fire. They brought strange fire before him. And it warranted them. It was of such import that God devoured these two boys, these sons of Aaron, with fire. You can turn a few pages over to Leviticus chapter 10, the next next book of the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 2, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, that's always been a very interesting passage to me. And when I came to this thing in my reading a week or so ago, this thing stumped me. And then I was speaking with a brother Robert up in Huntsville. And then as I was speaking to him, something came to God revealed this thing to me. And we spoke recently, I think maybe last week, of the hidden wisdom. And in the hidden wisdom over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says that Paul determined not to know. Paul determined not to know anything among them save just Christ crucified. But it's interesting to me that he determined not to know, because Paul did know. Paul knew a lot. Paul was probably the foremost Bible scholar of the New Testament as far as what we would call knowledge, man-taught knowledge anyway. But he determined to know less, okay? Well, what Lord revealed to me was Nadab and Abihu, they determined, but they determined to know more. And so that thing became just crystal clear like a lamp coming on. That's what we do. We do it every day. We determine to know more than God. We do things, and I do this too. I'm not picking on her. I'm frying eggs a couple days ago, and I'm doing these sunny side up eggs. And the three eggs they weren't in the center of the skillet. They were on the side of the skillet. So I moved the skillet to where the side of the skillet was actually over the fire. And Melissa walks up and she slides the skillet and centers it. I said, no, you got to slide. Well, I do that all the time. I correct her all the things because I didn't have all the information. She didn't have all the information. She determined to know more. I do it. You do it. We do it all day long. Oh, well, I know more. And I believe that far more often in our life, we'd have so much more peace if we would determine to do less, determine to know less even, you see. We must be very cautious concerning the things of God, and especially concerning the Word of God. We must never determine to know more, because you're going to get in trouble. Anything more becomes strange. And God won't have it. It's sort of like what I've always said, you know, that I heard from the old preacher one time. I don't push the wagon, I don't pull the wagon. You know, basically I'm riding on this sea of life. Now, the things that are required of me that I have to do, obviously, we have to turn to the left and we have to turn to the right. But if we'll be sensitive to the will of God, and just pay attention to what God has for us, if we're determined to know less, we'll do a whole lot better than if we determine to know more. How many of us determined to know more on so many different things that in reality we know so very little? Man, you can have a conversation about nuclear physics and all of a sudden you can have five guys and they've all got something to input about it and they don't know anything about it. They don't even know what physics are, you see. I like that there's a line in the Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Can you spell Leonard Skinner? Probably nobody can, but anyway. He said, I know a little about love. He said, I can guess the rest. I know a little about love, I can guess the rest. And I'm certain today that most are just like that. You get away with it in the natural. And fortunately for you and I, God hadn't devoured us by fire. Because they didn't do much different than they're doing this morning in almost every church in the land. That's the way that religion has become, you see. But with God, this won't do. It's strange, and God won't have it. Are we not truly, Christ said we're to become as little children. We don't. We know everything, you know. But he said we're to come as little children. And as Paul, to determine to know nothing. But everybody wants to be a know-it-all, see. Else, what we do, we bring our own incense, our own fire, our own sacrifice before the Lord. If you've heard me preach any time at all, you know the two most dangerous words in the English language, I think, you better duck, I think, even if I believe. Everybody has a thought. Everybody has a belief. Well, does that matter? No. Nadab and Abihu needn't do either. God had provided exactly what he considered a sweet incense. And I shudder to think what he must see in our religion today. How men, I was talking about men, they do these rituals and they do these altar calls and they do all sorts of religious things. Things that aren't mentioned in the Word of God. There's not the first altar call in the Word of God. Not the first one. And every at least Baptist church in the land this morning is going to have an altar call at the end of the service. Is that strange fire? Boy, it sort of is, because I've seen all the people that have made professions of faith and then they're right back in the sin. They didn't get anything, you see. What man passes off as salvation or sweet incense. And so we carry such over into our daily lives. Even how we start our mornings. You remember how we just start? I know Jeff does. Jeff's been with us a long time. And the first always belongs to the Lord. When you get up in the morning, your first hour, your first minute, your first time, it belongs to the, doesn't belong to you. It's the first. And thus we start our day with the first to the Lord, you see. Not the second, the first. Because the second would be considered strange. So you get up in the morning, speak with the Lord. Get on your face. First thing, speak with the Lord. First thing, read your Bible. Then you go about your day. But the first belongs to God. It's a sweet incense. It's a sweet savor to the Lord, you see, not the second. And when you do that, then you're determining to know more. Like the likes of John MacArthur speaking on the blood and the mark of the beast. He's determining to know more. That's strange fire. And I know that there's many in America today, even Jeff and some of my relatives, they're all considering major moves, major movements in their life. And I would advise you, maybe even warn you, to be ever so careful in your determination. Because you might come up with more than you bargained for. And it's very, very difficult. An old preacher told me, he said, if God didn't say go, you better stay. I'm not telling you not to go, but if God didn't say go, you better stay. Always go for the sweet incense. Because if you don't, then you end up with strange fire. You may not end up like Nadab and Abihu. That's part of the, I think, the reason, you know, because just like Adam and Eve said, you surely die, and they did, but they didn't die because things don't happen instantly with us. Like it did with Nadab and Abihu and other instances in the Bible. We consider, we think, well, we got away with it. Well, we got away with it. But the truth is the result will not be so pleasant. it will most certainly be strange. Though dire in our text, this lesson can be very practical for you and I every single day. If you turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem other better than themselves." Man, I don't meet anybody like this today. They don't teach it. They don't even teach it in the churches. And few are like that. If any man had right to esteem, it was Paul the Apostle. I mean, that guy knew everything. He really, really did been caught up to the third heaven. Yet God gave him a thorn in the flesh to knock him down. The Apostle Paul, to knock him down a notch. The Apostle Paul, a thorn in the flesh. Paul sought him three times. "Lord, do you take?" He said, "No." He said, "My grace is sufficient." All right, if God's grace is sufficient, why must we determine to know more? You know, before I was crippled in the horse wreck way back at age 50, I mean, this is a true story. I could outrun most teenagers. I could outrun high school kids at 50 years old. I could. But Superman met a four-legged horse named Kryptonite or Strange Fire. And everything changed. Everything in my life changed. Because you remember, God hates pride. You know, we know he hates sodomites, but he hates pride. And he hates a haughty spirit. What are the very last words of this book itself in Revelation 22? Do you remember? You can turn there. Revelation chapter 22. It's one of the last verses in the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 19. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." You don't add, you don't take away. You leave it just like it is. That's another reason I'm King James only version. Anything else to me is strange fire, because God ordains kings. And a king ordained this book to be written 400 years ago or so. And if you'll just study the fruits of you might say, evangelism for the last 400 years, and you'll seek the Spirit on the matter, that thing will come to you. Don't determine to know more. Determine to know less. What the Bible actually says and what most men say, it says, they're often quite different. People tell me all the time, the Bible says, well, it doesn't really say that, you see. Especially on things like judge not. It never tells you not to judge. It just says whatever judgments you're going to meet, you're going to be meted back. It's going to come back to you. If you judge this way, it's going to be judged this way on you. It doesn't tell you not to judge. And matter of fact, it clearly says to judge all things. Any man says he doesn't judge all things, well, now you know he's a liar and a judge, so you have them both. And in John 3:16, they have no clue what that means. They take it and to say that God wants to save everybody. He doesn't say that at all. But you see, they determine to know more. But they determine it for their purpose, for their advantage, and they add that strange fire. They determine to know more, not less. I found in my preaching over the years, if you don't have this degree or you didn't go to school here, you didn't do this, well, you're none of theirs. You know, you got to determine no more. I didn't last long at Howard Payne University because they determined to know a whole lot more. A whole lot more than I wanted to know. And it sure didn't match up with what I was reading in the Word of God. Paul was ever so cautious with the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, the Bible says that he spoke some things. It's the only time in the Word of God Bible says that he spoke some things by permission. He got permission from God to add his thought on a particular matter. So I'd ask, how often do you seek permission of God before you act? Well, I mean, we're all honest. We don't. We just act, you see. Would a child leave the house without permission? Well, he might. He might get away with it. But he might not get away with it. It'd be a great peril. Are we not to come as children? Oh, well, God doesn't care if I go to the store. Really? Do you care if your child goes to the store? You care if your wife goes to the store. And so daily, we find ourselves determining to know more. Now, because we escape, or maybe we're not instantly devoured by fire, we think we got away with it. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still strange fire. You know what sweet incense is if you've ever raised a kid. If you've ever parented, you know what sweet incense is. You know the things that are pleasing to you. Nature will teach that. If you're a wife, you know the things that are pleasing to you that your husband does. Or if you're a husband, you know the things that are pleasing to you that your wife does. We know all these things in the natural, but we offer strange fire before the Lord, you see. Anybody think it's a wonderful thing that children profess to know more than mom and dad? It's repugnant, isn't it? It's repugnant. Talking back, sass. Man, in my day, sass gets you knocked down. Strange fire. So before you wag that tongue, turn to the book of James. We got time. Turn over to the book of James. James chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Oh, amen. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Nadab and Abihu learned this in the hardest of ways. Strange fire. And we do it all the day long. How often do we wish we could reel those words back in? You see. They determined to know more. And I'd pray today that we might determine actually to really know less. And that our actions be but sweet incense to the Lord. But see, we don't take the time to stop and think. We don't take the time to stop and consider. We don't become as little children again before our Father. How many even consider daily what they do and say before the Lord? And whether it be sweet or strange before Him. And this is just daily living. How about what we text to others? We text, man, I've been texting all morning. I'll probably be texting all day. You see? Consider it carefully. I don't really care for texting. It just happens to be the mode of communication. Because I don't know the intent behind it. And so I start reading things in there. You see? The human nature. So we have to consider it carefully. It's after all incense. Our words, our texts, our actions. That's all incense before God. Sweet or strange. We all think. We all believe. But I'd ask, what is it that we know? God's given every man living a certain knowledge. You can read that in the Word of God, that every man has heard this thing. So all men have this knowledge. We know the evil part. When we think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but we never consider the good. You see? We know. We may not do, but you know. We're all without excuse. There's nobody here, the sound of my voice, you're with Not without excuse. Because you know. And thus, our knowing and not doing becomes strange fire. Finally, if you would turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 26. David said, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." See that? One thing. Just one thing. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle." Look at it. "I'll offer in His tabernacle." Are we not His tabernacle? "Sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Now, I thought I was going to end there, and then I was looking something up this morning. I was thinking about a problem that a man I know has, and I went to the book of Haggai, and I remember the scripture well because I had a fella that was a real estate agent and a barber in Tennessee years ago, and he was a good man. I liked the man, but he had a problem in his life, and this was his problem, and it's found in Haggai chapter 1. In verse 6. And I believe this has to do with our word this morning. But this will help all of you. And I know so few that they wonder. They wonder why. And they wonder why. He said, "You've sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but they're none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." I never forgot that thing. And that's another sermon, but I'm going to end with it. It has to do with the first, and it has to do with tithing to God. I've spoken on this many. I don't even think about it. Melissa says, "We got paid this much money, or we received this," and I don't get a calculator out. I just say, "Give this." And I know it's well and above a tenth. It's always well and above a tenth. I go, "Give this." You know? If it's $100, I may say $150 or I may say $200. "Give this." And I do it cheerfully and I do it well because it's a principle of God. And when I started doing that many, many years ago, that hole in my bag got sewn up and I found out that I had more. I think I told you this man, Laterno, up in East Texas, he said, "Well, God can get by on 10. I can get by on 10. And he tithed, and he became a multimillionaire. He tithed 90% of his money. He gave 90% to God. And we don't do that. I say we. Most people, they don't do that. I'm going to say that probably in 20-something years of this ministry, maybe 10%. Have been what the Bible calls tithers. And that's not law, by the way. Abraham tithed long before the law. It's the principle of the first fruits. It's not a law. It's the principle of the first. Everything first belongs to God. Your first son, he belongs to God. He belongs to God. The first of anything always belongs to God. It's a biblical principle. And if you don't give that first tenth to God, you're robbing God. You're robbing Him. And then you wonder why, man, you just get by. Well, you're always just going to get by because you're robbing God. You say, "Well, there's a lot of men and millionaires, and they don't give anything to God." Yeah, well, look who they are. Look who they are. You want to be them? I don't. I don't want to be Bill Gates. And so, and that has to do, a strange fire. You think that's a sweet smell to God that you rob God? We had a man that was in our midst for years. He, to this day, he still owes the church money. He borrowed money. Years ago. He never tithed. And then he comes to church for money. And then he steals that money. And he wasn't the only one. Had several. We gave money. They came. Preacher, I've got a need. Give him money. It's a loan. It's a business. We're stewards. We're stewards of the Lord's money. We're very careful and very cautious how we control and take care of that money and what we use it for. We don't throw it out to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that says, oh, I've got a ministry and I've got this. We've given money to widows. We've given the money, some money to some missionaries from time to time. And we've just written checks to people that seemed like that they had a need. But all this has to do with the sweet incense. All this has to do with the strange fire. So when you do things, I'd pray that this week as you go about your daily living, that this thing would stick in your mind from this day forward. Is what I'm doing, is it strange fire or is it sweet incense? If you've raised kids or you're married or you've been around any other humans, even at work, you at least go, most of you go to work. You know what sweet incense, and you know what strange fire is before the Lord. It's a great everyday lesson. Man, a kid can understand this. Do you see? And I'm going to tell you, it'll change your, it will change. I'm speaking from experience. I've been further down the road than all you people. It will change your life for the better. I know immediately when I've burned strange fire. Uh-oh. And I've just, by the grace of God, he didn't burn me up like Nadab and Abihu. You see? Uh-oh. But I also know when I've burned the sweet incense, when it's a sweet savor to the Lord.